So, you would like a story, huh? Plenty good, Nobby's no chick. Come in. Sit down, my children. I believe your Nokomis can find a story for you. What else are grandmothers for, eh? Not too close to the fire there. Right, now, make yourselves comfortable. Now, no story is about just one thing or just one person. For stories are a little bit of true life, remembered and retold. And life is about many things that fit together in harmony. Great Spirit has made it that way. Miigwech. This is the story of Mwami, the field mouse, the tiniest of our four-footed brothers. It is the story of mercy and the story of justice. And in that sense, it is the telling of how one goodness leads to another goodness, if only you are clever enough to see the truth of its being that way. This is also a story of one Red Feather, a child of the Abenoshag, just like you are. And you will like that, eh? Today you have helped to carry many buckets of sap from Nenatig, the maple, our good tree. So you should know about this, for it is the truth of how maple sugar, Anishinaabeg Sisibakwat, was first discovered. But that is not all. It is two stories in one. One which took place in the autumn, the moon of the falling of leaves, and another which happened in Nitaziguan, the early springtime, in the moon of our good tree, the very time of year that it is now, Ninotikisis, when the life sap rises up in the sturdy trunks of all the tree beings. Hey, oh, hey, I tell a story from the ancient ones. Hey, oh, hey, I place tobacco for their spirits. Hey, oh, hey, I tell a story, listen and learn. It was the moon of the falling of leaves. All day long, young Red Feather had tramped among the wonders of the forest, delighting in the crisp autumn air, gathering nuts for his grandmother, and watching the animals prepare their winter homes. And now he was tired. He took off his covering shirt and hung it carefully on the pegs of the wigwam, and then he took a good long drink from the cold water in his McCook and laid down beside the fire. But before he put his moccasins beside the fire, he dropped a few goodies from the forest trip into the toe of one. You know, for nibbles, while he was lying there. Red Feather loved this lazy time beside the fire of his grandmother's lodge. He liked the dream pictures he could find in the red embers of the fire. Eh? You look, maybe you'll see one there. He stretched out and soon became warm and dreamy in the beaver skin robes. He was just about to reach into the toe of his moccasin for one of the goodies when he heard a sound. And like every good Anishinaabe child should, he froze still. for it was a sound he was not accustomed to hearing. And then, in the gloom of the fire, his sharp eyes went wandering about the wigwam. Pretty soon, near one end of the fire where the ashes were cold, he thought he saw Tizinikwa, the little whirlwind. But it wasn't long before he saw the little whirlwind also had two tiny, very shiny little black eyes. When he saw what it really was, Red Feather nearly laughed out loud and scared him away, for it was the tiniest, the very smallest little field mouse that Red Feather had ever seen. It was so small it looked like a little ball of fuzz with two great ears sticking out of it and a very long tail. So tiny was this little fellow, he didn't walk too well in the ashes. But as little as he was, he had a good nose, and he was snuff, snuff, snuffling along in the ashes, looking for a crumb of something to eat. And when he came really close to Red Feather's moccasins, he smelled the goodies there, and with what jump he was over the side. Red Feather was just about to say, "Hey, those are mine," when he thought, "Perhaps this little one is hungry, like I was this morning when I went to the forest." So he waited, and pretty soon, back out of the moccasin came the wee one, his little ears and eyes peeking up over the edge, and a big blueberry. He sat there in the firelight, eating that berry, and it seemed like he was looking at Red Feather. Red Feather just couldn't decide. Was he really looking at Red Feather? Was he worried if he'd take the berry away? Or was he saying, "Make wish for this nice food. I realize you're sharing it with me." Red Feather was never to know. He could hear the shuffling footsteps of his Nokomis coming to the door outside the lodge, and he knew something would have to be done. For Nokomis, like most grown-ups, didn't care for the Mameeg. They said they were pirates and stealers and took away food that they had not garnered, and said they ought to be taken away, and said they ought to be killed. In fact, he had seen many people go around with wee clubs hitting at the Mameeg. And this one was so tiny and so hungry and so small and so cute. Red Feather just didn't want that to happen to this baby Mameeg. So quick as a flash, he folded the toe of his moccasin right over the top of the heel and made like a little hiding place for the Mameeg. And when his grandmother came in and put down the wood, he didn't say a thing, and she didn't either, except to give him a kindly look as she went on again. And then Red Feather leaned over and put the moccasin up to his ear, and he could hear the little one going squeak, squeak, squeak inside. And he said, "Little brother, a people wigwam is no place for a mommy. Some of our people would even step on you or hit you with a club. Go seek your food in the forest. It is a safer place for you." And he shoved his moccasin underneath the flap of the tent. And then he watched while little Nami scampered away. Then came winter, and it was one of the hardest winters that Nokomis in all her years could remember, and it was absolutely the worst winter that little Red Feather, who had not very many years, could remember. Oh, Kabi Banodin roared out of the north and blew and never seemed to snap with his piercing cold. And Peboan stalked the forest, and Peboan stalked the hunters even as they stalked their prey. And Papa Kiwis rattled his skeleton in the dark. And the people, all the people, were hungry, very hungry indeed. It was so bad, in fact, that many times many people had nothing in their stew pots, nothing in the pot at all. Now, Nokomis was a very wise woman, and she had put away many things. So Red Feather and Nokomis did rather well. And Red Feather, being a beginning hunter, would often go to the forest and find a few things. But at last, the cold became so great, and the ice was so deep, that no one could break out to go through the forest. And when they did get to the forest, if they should, there was nothing there to find. It was all held in a strong prison of very thick ice. One day when Red Feather woke up, he found his grandmother sitting by the fire, shaking her head, and she said, "Grandson, today there will be nothing in our stew pot. Nothing at all, do you understand? Nothing at all. It is the first time in my whole life that I have not been able to provide for the family I should take care of. I am sorry." "Oh, not to worry, Grandmother." Red Feather took up his little bow and arrow, put on his heavy leggings, and pulled his shirt over his head. "I will go to the forest, and I will find something for us to eat." Grandmother just looked at him and shook her head. And she was just going to say, "No, don't bother going. There's no sense in it." But instead, she thought and said, "Well, perhaps. Who knows? Perhaps, in their goodness, the spirits of the forest will show you something for us." So, Red Feather took off. I couldn't say he went down the path or he walked down the path. Oh, no. He skidded down the path. Just like as if he was on a toboggan, only he wasn't. And he came to the place where the forest paths crossed in the middle. And he thought, "This would be a good place to hide myself. And I will watch and see what animals go by." So that he did. And from his hiding place, he watched and saw two poor skinny little snowbirds, hardly good enough to fill a pot. They were so cold, and mostly feathers and bones. And then down the path came Shikakok the skunk. Only he wasn't the brave, bragging old self that he usually was. No. His fur was dull, and his skin hung on his bones like he was the skeleton of Pocket Pocetus himself. Besides, Redfeather thought he'd just as soon go without eating altogether as have the taste of skunk in his pot. And he waited, and he waited, and he was getting cold. Nothing else seemed to come when suddenly, skidding down the path, zippity-zap, as if he had a little wee toboggan underneath him, came a field mouse. And the field mouse went sliding by, and Redfeather had to laugh. It looked so funny. And then all of a sudden, he sat up straight in his hiding place. That field mouse, that field mouse, he wasn't gaunt and skinny, and his skin wasn't flapping on his bones. Oh, no, that field mouse was sleek and shiny and plump. And he had a ruff of fur around his head, and his little ears set up good and stiff and animated. And he was having a good time with plenty of energy to enjoy himself. How did that field mouse do that? Redfeather was just about to get out of his place and try stalking a field mouse. When zippity-zoom back down the path the other way came the very same field mouse. Redfeather set his foot like the foot of a giant in the path. "Wait there, little brother. I would know something from you." The little field mouse cowered, afraid of that giant foot, and looked up the full length of that high being, which was Redfeather. And all of a sudden, instead of looking afraid and scared and worried for fear if it might be killed any moment, the little field mouse gave a jump right straight up in the air and down again into the snow, and the powdery snow went poofed. And the little squeaky voice said, "Redfeather, Redfeather, my friend Redfeather." Redfeather looked. He could hardly believe this. And he said, "Little brother field mouse, little mommy, you know my name." "Oh, yes," said the little field mouse. I know I don't look the same, but I think you probably remember me. I remember last moon of falling leaves. I was a baby mouse then. Well, you saved my life. You hid me in your moccasin and you let me crawl underneath the tent flap. I remember you." And Redfeather said, "Can it be? Are you the big, strong, sleeky, gray field mouse that you are? The same as that little ball of fluff? All this happened in these few months, and in winter, little brother, when the food is the scarcest, when it is hard for us Indians, us who have learned how to hunt, we who have been taught all about the forest, and you, a field mouse, have been able to find food all winter long?" And the little field mouse waggled his tail, and he flapped his little ears, and he grinned, and he said, "Isn't it great? I feel great. It looks great. I am very happy." Redfeather put down his head, and he said, "Little brother, would you share your secret with me? I need some food for my Nokomis. She is old and not too strong." And the little field mouse said, "Oh, surely I will tell you my secret. Bend down here, big brother." So Red Feather got down on his knees in the ice and the snow and leaned down to hear what the little mommy had to say. And the mommy said, my secret, big brother, is the sap of Ninotigesis, our good tree, the sweet sap of the maple.